I'm reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. I'm going to ask my brother Mo White to read the scripture for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Romans 5, verse 1 to 11. Paul starts and he says, therefore. And whenever you see the word therefore, you ask wherefore. And the word wherefore simply means something that had preceded chapter 5. And in chapter 5 he speaks about justification. And in chapter 4 he speaks about justification. And so he says, therefore, in the light of, in view of the fact that we've been justified. And then he goes through and he gives us three things. And I want you to use this as a sermon when you deal with this particular passage. This is just an outline. Verses 1 to 2 is the acceptance in Christ. Verses 2 also speaks about access to God through Christ. And verses 3 to 11 speaks about assurance in Christ. So I'll repeat that. Verses 1 and 2 speaks about acceptance in Christ. Verses 2 also refers to access to God through Christ. And number 3, in verses 3 to 11, speaks about the assurance in Christ. And Paul starts and he says, therefore, in the light of the fact that we've been justified, we have peace with God. I want to start off by stating his acceptance in Christ. He says, therefore, because we've been justified, and somebody defined justification as just righteousness in the presence and in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And another writer put it this way, as we have not, just as if we've not sinned, not necessarily that we don't have the sinful nature and we sin and we have the propensity to sin, but simply we've been made righteous. And our acceptance in Christ is that we have this peace. And the Bible speaks about the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that brings about a reconciliation between myself and God. And it says, therefore, being justified by Christ, we have peace with God. And this peace speaks to me about two things. It speaks to me that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, that we have peace with God, we have received this reconciliation between ourselves and God. And very, very important is that It's all in the heart of God that He has brought about this salvation to each one of us. And because of His heart and His love for us, He sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die and was buried and rose again the third day. So we have this peace with God. I like the imagery that is created here. In one of Paul's letters, he uses the word peace in another way. He speaks of a garrison. And in the old, in the earlier years of South Africa, there was that Boer-Anglo war. And they had these forts. And as long as the enemy approached, they were protected by this fort. And we are protected, and we have this peace with God in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not only do we have peace with God in terms of our acceptance in Christ, but we have access. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have gained access into His very presence. No longer are we aliens, but we have now free entrance into the presence of the living God. We have free access into His presence. Somebody defined it this way. We don't have to make an appointment. We don't have to go through periods of stringent rules and regulations to see the prince, to see the king, to see the president. Here we have free access into the very presence of the Lord, and it says we have gained access into His presence. And therefore He says to us, let us now enter boldly into the very presence of the living God with confidence and assurance that He will hear. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, that we've been accepted in Christ. We have this acceptance in Christ. But I also want to say to you that we have access, free access into His very presence. And the word access has two connotations or two meanings. First, it means an introduction to the person of God. Otherwise, we can come into God's presence. But it also has an implied meaning to enter a harbor. And I want to give you a picture, paint a picture of a mariner at sea. And as they are in this boat, struggling with the tempest and the waves and the storms all around them, and they're really grappling to get to a safe harbor. And in the distance they see a lighthouse. And when they see that lighthouse, they have that motivation. And as they use their oars to move towards the harbor and they come into a safe landing, after all the tempests and all the storms, they enter into that harbor. The implied meaning in this particular verse simply means, not only do we have introduction into the very presence of the Lord, but we have access into His life and His person, and to live out that. Question is asked this morning, would you enter into His harbor? For many of us here, or all of us here, we've entered that harbor, and I want to spiritualize this. We've entered that harbor of salvation. We've made a commitment to Christ. But there's also entering the harbor of sanctification. Paul writes that we might walk in newness of life. But also into our hour of glorification, looking forward to Christ when He will soon return to be with Him forever. So my brothers, this morning, as we focus on the word, we have acceptance in Christ. But we also have access through Christ to God. But the third thing is the assurance in Christ, verse 3 to 11. And I'm going to ask my brother again, who read it, just to read it for us so that you can get an understanding.
Verse
3 to 11.
Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Up to that point, it's fine. When you speak about the assurance in Christ, there are two aspects that I want to highlight. I want to highlight the divine life, and I want to highlight the divine love. The divine life has got three words that have been used in that particular verses. It speaks about suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And I want to say to you this morning that when we go through a period of suffering, and the church goes through periods of suffering and difficulty, Dr. Pillay spoke last week about the COVID problem that we have in our country and worldwide. But when we go through a period of suffering and difficulty, what is God doing to all of us? He said, suffering produces perseverance. And the word perseverance is another word which means to endure or endurance. So during a time of difficulty and during a time of suffering, we endure. We go through a period of endurance. And I want to encourage you this morning that despite your circumstances, despite my circumstances, that we endure during this period of difficulty. But not only it produces not only endurance or perseverance, but it produces character. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, that God's character is infused in our lives when we suffer for His sake. He is made known to others through our lives. And so we may display the character of Christ in our walk with the Lord. It brings about the change in the lives of other people when they inquire about this God that we serve, and they respond to want to accept Him as their personal Savior. So our suffering produces perseverance. Our suffering produces character. But it also produces hope. We are not people without hope. We have our hope in God, and our hope for the future glory to be with Him forever. And I want to say to you this morning, when we speak about the divine life, it will produce perseverance. It will produce character, and it will produce hope. I want to conclude with the divine love. And it speaks about verse 5, my brother.
Verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. We have this agape love within ourselves. And the word that is used here is the word flesh flooded. As God's love is in me, it is flush flooded to those I come in contact with, those I move around with, those I see along the way, because God's love is within me. And it allows me to love the unlovely. It allows me to love those who spitefully use me. It allows me to love those who do me an injustice, because God's love is in me. And it says, the love of God is flush flooded in my life, so that I can make an impact. And what kind of love is this? This is a God-given love. And I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that you focus on God's love. It's a love that only He can give. And that love started at the point of Calvary. That love is infiltrated in our lives, in our daily walk with Him. And this love will continue in those we come in contact with. Question is asked this morning to all of us, is the love of Christ flush flooded in your life? That people see the difference in your walk, in your talk. That people understand that you belong to a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Do you have the divine life? Do you have the divine love? I want to conclude with two things, by way of conclusion. is found in verses 9 and in verse 11. My brother, will you read verse 9 for us?
Verse 9. It says, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God.
And the word that has been used in verse 9 is the word justification. We've been made right with God. We've been reconciled to God. I normally, at every situation, I call out and use an altar call. But because we are all saved, we are Christians here this morning, I simply want to say to you, do you have that commitment to Christ? Do you have this divine life? And this divine love that is filtered through your life. And because of that, you are justified. You are made, you have peace with God. But not only are you justified. Verse 11 says,
verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Not only are we justified, but we are reconciled. We have now received this union between ourselves and Christ because of what, between ourselves and God because of what Christ has done. And I want to say to you, my brothers, in conclusion, we are accepted in Christ. Number two, we have free access into His very presence because of Christ. And number three, we have the assurance in Christ that we, through periods of difficulty, it produces perseverance. It produces character. It produces hope. And we can conclude by saying we are justified. We are reconciled. Brother Lewis, will you close for us in the word of prayer?
Fellowship that we know you.